Start. I do have the privilege to open the word with you tonight. We're going to be in the book of Psalms tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 46 and Psalm 37. Most of our time is going to be in 46. So if you'll turn there, Psalm 46 and Psalm 37. Psalm 46, verse number 10, is where we're going to spend most of our time. It's a very short verse, but it's a verse that has always meant a lot to me. And as I prepared this lesson tonight, I hope that you'll be able to grasp the importance of this little verse. Be still and know that I am God. How many of you ever heard of circuit riders? Well, a circuit rider was a preacher back in the 1700s or 1800s. They would ride from church to church and hold services. You see, back in those days, there were more churches than there were preachers, so the preachers would go between church and church and bring sermons to the congregation. So they would go and travel one to church to another. So one day this circuit rider was riding out in the farmland, and he came across a farmer working out in his field. And the preacher decided that he wanted to start a conversation. He wanted to invite the man to church. The preacher called out, "Fine day, isn't it? Fine day, Mr. Farmer, isn't it?" The farmer replied back, "It's fine for you. All you have to do is ride around on that horse, thinking about Jesus all day long. That's all you have to do. Well, I have to sweat here in this field and then walk home afterward. I don't think it's right that you should have things so easy while I have to work so hard." The preacher responded, "You're right. You work hard in the fields, and I admire that. But you need to realize the kind of work that I do," the preacher said, "is a work of a different kind." The farmer, not convinced, said, "Yeah, right. That's not really hard work what you do. All you do is ride around thinking about God all the time. That's not very hard." But the preacher said, "Oh, it's harder than you think." The minister answered, and then a thought occurred to him. "I'll tell you what, just to prove how difficult it is to think about God, if you can think about nothing but God for 1 minute, I'll give you my horse." "Wow," the farmer said, "you can't be serious." The preacher said, "Yes, I am. I'm serious." The farmer said, "You're on." And the man immediately sat down in silence, the farmer. 10 seconds went by. Oh, then 20 seconds went by. And then 25 seconds went by. And just about then, the farmer looked up to the preacher and said, "Hey, does that include the saddle?" You see, all the man had to do to get the horse was to say nothing. All he had to do was think about God, nothing else, for 60 seconds, but he couldn't do that. "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10 says. Sounds like God is asking us to be still. Just be quiet in his presence and know that he is God. But you see, just like that farmer in that story that I just shared, there's a lot of people, including myself, that have a hard time doing that. There's a saying that says, nature detests a vacuum. Nature detests the vacuum. You see, the philosopher Aristotle, nature requires every space to be filled with something. Did you think about that? Nature requires every space to be filled with something. You see, in the same way, many people just don't like quiet. They struggle with it. If I was going to do this, but I decided not to. I was going to stand up here and just stand for 45 seconds. See, you thought I was going to do it. You didn't know. It's uncomfortable almost. Well, what are you doing, Ron? Why are you doing that? You need to say something. Why are you being so quiet? You see, there was a medical doctor at a seminar once, and he said that in a discussion group once that he had, the leader asked a question. And no one had an immediate answer to his question, so the teacher waited, and he waited, And he waited some more, and finally one of the people in the audience offered up an answer. But it happened to be incorrect. But it sparked a fairly lively discussion amongst the group. And after the seminar, a couple of people asked the teacher, "Hey, were you uncomfortable in that silence? It seemed like that silence went on for almost 5 minutes." And the teacher said, "Really, it was only about 30 seconds. You see, we just get uncomfortable. We think that that quiet time just lasts and lasts forever. We just don't like silence. We'll do just about anything to fill that emptiness, because that silence so many times is unsettling to us." I don't know about you, but I'll step into my car, my wife's car, and we have satellite radio in my wife's car. And when she's not with me, I turn to channel 98, and that's the comedy channel. And it's clean comedy, don't worry, but it's good clean comedy. And I have a hard time not listening to something, whether it's Christian music or maybe it's 60s and 70s music or the comedy. I have a hard time, and maybe you're like that too. You just can't quite have that quiet time. I heard it say that some people, when they get up or when they come into a room, they have to turn on a TV, and I'm kind of like that. I like the TV on, especially when I'm alone in the house. I like noise. I like to have that noise, that background. I might not be listening to it, but I like to have it on. And sometimes, probably if I was alone at the house, it would probably stay on most of the time. And then we get these things. You know what these things are? Oh, I love these things. These things are the earbuds. Have you experienced these, you know? I look at people driving down the road with these things in or walking down the street. We always have something going on. There's music of all kinds all over the place, everywhere we go, at department stores, at the malls and restaurants, at the grocery, at Walmart, even in elevators. I've noticed at the elevator at the hospital, I think they have music going. Just give me a break. Give me a little quiet time. A little quiet time. People just seem to think that we need to fill every waking moment with noise, and they can't stand to be around that silence. It's been said that people feel comfortable being silent when they're in the presence of somebody that they're comfortable with. When they're with those people, it's nothing just to sit there and not say anything. Have you experienced that? I know that when my wife and I are together, now that we're empty nesters, which is a good thing. I like that. I like empty nesters. I like being an empty nester, I got to tell you. I miss my kids, but we a lot of times just have quiet time. But we're comfortable around each other. We've been together for so long. We're comfortable. We're comfortable. We're comfortable in each other's company. Be still and know that I am God. You see, the only way that we can be still around God is if we're comfortable in His presence. We have to learn how to be comfortable in the presence of the Lord. You see, that's why to learn to be truly comfortable with God is to start practicing being quiet in His presence. Did you catch that? Sometimes we just got to be quiet in His presence. Sometimes we just need to sit there and think about God and be quiet and just enjoy Him. You know, when my wife and I were parents, younger parents, we're still parents, the kids would sometimes come and sit on our laps. And sometimes they would sit there and they would just chatter away, especially my daughter. I can remember one time I took my daughter in the car with me. We were working and my daughter wanted to go with me. We were out doing something. And she wasn't very old, maybe 2 or 3, but she was riding with me. And I got home and I told my wife, I said, "Lauren, she wore me out. She never was quiet." She was just chattering the whole time, but she was just enjoying that. But sometimes the kids will just crawl up in your lap and they'll chatter. Sometimes they just sit there, they'll ask for things. You know, sometimes they'll sit there and talk about something that really intrigues them or even something that bothers them. But you see, once in a while, that little child will just crawl up into a parent's lap and sit there. They don't want anything. Oh, they don't want anything. They don't want to talk about anything. They just want to be with us. They just want to be with you. They just want to sit there. They just want to be held. Do you remember that feeling? You'd do anything for that child. You'd give them whatever they want. There's nothing like that feeling of having a child that wants to be with you, that one action that says, I love you and I trust you and I feel safe with you. There's nothing in the world that compares to that feeling. You see, when people pray, what do we usually do? Well, we usually ask God for things. We usually ask for things, and that's okay. You know, the scriptures tell us that we don't receive because we don't ask. James 4:2 says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And then Jesus taught us in Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking and you will find. You see, there's nothing wrong with asking God for anything in prayer. But can you imagine what it must be like to God when we as his children just want to be with him? We just want to crawl up onto his lap as a picture. We just want to be with him. Just sit quietly with him. How do we do that? How do we train ourselves to do that? The Bible talks about the different positions that people take in prayer. Some folks lay prostrate on the ground and they pray. Elijah bowed himself on the earth and put his face between his knees. Others would lift up their hands in praise. You see, every position helps the worshiper, the believer, visualize something in prayer. Holding out your hand as if you were holding God's hand. Or stretching out your hands as if you're reaching up to God. I always like this position because I feel like I'm plugged in. I feel like I'm plugged in that way. We're not just asking for anything and not saying anything. Just sit there. Stand there. Lie there. Visualize yourself being alone with God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done this driving down the road in your car? You don't close your eyes. You're the only one in the car. And you reach across to the seat over here, as if God was over there and you hold on to his hand. You just hold on to it. I find it so helpful when I do this, when I just get into the car and I have that quiet time. I turn the radio off. I've had some of the best prayer times driving carefully, but driving and just praying. And just reaching out and holding God's hand. And having that special, special quiet time. Spending quiet time with Jesus. You know, there's always going to be issues, though, when we try to do that. Because our minds tend to drift. I know that I do. If you're anything like me, I know my mind tends to drift. I'll be standing there trying to think about God. I'll be trying to have my devotions. And my mind will stray. I begin to think about something that needs to be done. I need to think about a phone call I need to make, someone that I need to visit, something that needs to be done, a bill that needs to be paid. And before you know it, where's your mind? It's a long way away. We're no longer quiet with God. We're no longer just sitting there and spending time with God. Oh, that's so important. I think that's so important in today's world where we're plugged into electronics 99% of the time, when we've got so much going on, when it's so busy, we need to have that quiet, quiet time. There's a technique that helps me to do that. I go through the alphabet. I go through the alphabet. A, God, you're the Alpha and Omega. B, you're the beginning and the end. C, you're the creator. D, doing your will. E, you are everything. F, Holy Father. G, God Almighty. You get the idea. You can do the same thing. When you're having that time alone with God and your mind starts to drift, use that little trick and think about the alphabet and just go through it and just give God thanks and praise for what he's doing in your life. For what he's doing in your life. List those things that you're thankful for. Thankful for your salvation. Thankful for your family. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for our home. Thank you for everything that he supplies to us. Go through that list. You see, it's so much easier when we concentrate that way. We focus on those things to stay focused in. To stay focused in. But you know, sometimes there's another issue. Sometimes we just don't feel like we're deserving to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, we've had that tough day. We had that customer at Publix cut us off and we weren't kind to them. We had somebody driving and they gave us some sort of a salute with their hand. We maybe didn't respond right. And we just don't deserve that we need to be in his presence. It's like it would be wrong for us to be there, that we've fallen so short. And you see, when we get to that point, we need to say to God, I need to be here because I need you. I don't deserve to come into your presence. I'm doing this because I need to come into your presence. And when we think about that, spending time with Jesus, we'll be able to be still and know that he is God. He needs to remind us over and over of that. I believe that 100%. And I'm so glad that's just an easy little verse. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know. Psalm 4:4 says this. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. I love that one. That's a great verse. Think about it overnight and then remain silent after that. That's pretty good advice. Psalm 4:4. Thinking and knowing and being still in the will of God. Psalm 27:14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. That's hard to do sometimes. That's hard to do sometimes. I'll have to admit, this last week as mom has been in the hospital, it's been difficult to wait patiently to see her lying there in pain and going through what she's going through. And I know you guys have experienced that also. It's difficult. But it says, wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 62:2 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I'll never be shaken. That's a verse that we should have on our refrigerator all the time. He is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I'll never be shaken. And then Psalm 62:5 says this, let all that I am wait quietly before God. Because why? Because my hope is in him. What a blessing that is. That's why we picked this website, Hope For You. Pastor and I, we went through a lot of different names to call the website. We finally decided, Hope For You. That's what it's all about. Hope For You. Wait quietly before the Lord, for my hope is in him. And then one of my favorite verses, and actually my mother-in-law's favorite verse too, is Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What a wonderful verse that is. Those who trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord. We need to be still. We need to be quiet. We need to wait for God. We need to trust him. We need to trust him. Why do we have a difficult time? Because like we said, when things are quiet, it feels empty. It feels meaningless sometimes. It's like God's not there and he's not doing anything. But you see, when you think nothing is happening, we can be assured with God, something is happening. God's not sitting idly by. God's not sitting idly by. I ask you to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Follow along as I read verse 5. It says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Well, we could just stop right there. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Verse number 7, though, listen to this. It says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Wait patiently for him to act. As we've spent a bunch of time at the hospital this last week, waiting patiently for him to act. Waiting patiently for him to act. Sometimes we get in such a rush that we get on our own timetable and we just miss God's timing so many times. We don't want to do that. We want to stay in step with Jesus. We want to listen to him. We want to wait patiently for him. There was a man who was on a timetable. Every day for 8 years, he followed a very precise routine. Every morning his alarm went off at 6:30, he'd get up, shower, shave, and eat his breakfast. He brushed his teeth, picked up his briefcase, got into his car, and rode the ferry across to the river. There he'd get on the ferry, walk into the office building, go to the elevator, ride up to the 17th floor, and sit down in his chair at precisely 8 a.m. He followed that same routine every year for 8 years. Then one morning, his alarm didn't go off, and he overslept by 15 minutes. You see, he was panic-stricken. He rushed to the shower. He nicked himself shaving. He gulped down his breakfast. He grabbed his briefcase, jumped into his car, sped down to the ferry landing. He got out of his car and saw the ferry just a few feet from the dock, and he said to himself, I think I can make this. And he ran down to the dock. He made an enormous leap and landed at the thud on the deck of the ferry. The captain of the boat rushed over and said, are you okay? He said, man, that was a tremendous leap. I've never seen anything like that. But you know, if you'd only waited another minute or two, we would have reached the dock and you could have just walked on. What does that story have to do with our teaching tonight? Well, it says this. Sometimes people misjudge the distance between God and themselves. Sometimes we misjudge that distance. As I was studying this, that being still sounded like something, maybe like some Eastern religion where there's meditation and that kind of stuff, yoga meditation, where people just kind of sit around contemplating whatever they're contemplating. But you see, when God calls us to be still, he's not asking us to do nothing. He's not asking us not to focus on anything. Because what he says is, be still and know that I am God. He's asking us to focus on him. He's asking us to focus on him. You see, remember when I started the teaching tonight, I said nature detests a vacuum. But you see, so does our soul. If you don't fill that empty void with God, something else is going to fill it. Jesus told us in Matthew 12, 43 and 45, it says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. What is Jesus saying there? It says you can't empty yourself out and expect everything to be good. Your soul will not permit a vacuum. You need to fill yourself with God, or something else will take its place. Be still and know that I am God. I've used this story before, but I want to close with this story because it really just ties it all together. I'm going to read it to you. And if you heard it before, I apologize for that. But it's a good story. And it kind of ties everything together. It says, be still with God. All day long, I had been very busy. Picking up trash, cleaning bathrooms, and scrubbing floors, my grown children were coming home for the weekend. I went grocery shopping and prepared for a barbecue supper complete with chicken and ribs. I wanted everything to be just perfect. Suddenly, it dawned on me that I was dog tired. I simply couldn't work as long as I could when I was younger. I've got to rest for a minute, I told my husband, Roy. As I collapsed into my favorite rocking chair, music was playing, my dog and cat were chasing each other, and the telephone rang. A scripture from Psalm 46 popped into my mind. Be still and know that I am God. I realized that I hadn't spent much time in prayer that day. Was I too busy to even utter a simple word of thanks to God? Suddenly, the thought of my beautiful patio came to mind. I can be quiet out there, I thought. I longed for a few minutes alone with God. Roy and I had invested a great deal of time and work in the patio that spring. The flowers and the hanging baskets were breathtaking. It was definitely a heavenly place of rest and tranquility. If I can't be still with God in that environment, I can't be still with Him anywhere, I thought. While Roy was talking on the telephone, I slipped out the back door and I sat down on my favorite patio chair. I closed my eyes and began to pray, counting my many blessings. A bird flew by me, chirping and singing. It interrupted my thoughts. It landed on the bird feeder and began eating dinner as I watched. After a few minutes, it flew away, singing another song. I closed my eyes again. A gust of wind blew, which caused my wind chimes to dance. They made a joyful sound. But again, I lost my concentration on God. I squirmed and wiggled in my chair. I looked up towards the blue sky and saw the clouds moving slowly towards the horizon. The wind died down. My wind chimes finally became quiet. Again, I bowed in prayer. Honk, honk, I heard. I almost jumped out of my skin. A neighbor was driving down the street. He waved at me and smiled. I waved back, happy that he cared. I quickly tried once again to settle down, repeating the familiar verse in my mind, be still and know that I am God. I'm trying, God, I really am, I whispered, but you've got to help me here. The back door opened, my husband walked outside. I love you, he said. I was wondering where you were. I chuckled as he came over and kissed me, then turned around and went back inside. Where's my quiet time, I asked God. My heart fluttered. There was no pain, only a beat that interrupted me yet again. This is impossible, I thought. There's no time to be still and know that God is with me. There's too much going on in the world and entirely too much activity all around me. Then suddenly, it dawned on me. God was speaking to me the entire time I was attempting to be still. I remembered the music playing as I'd begun my quiet time. He sent a sparrow to lighten my life with a song. He sent a gentle breeze. He sent a neighbor to let me know that I had a friend. He sent my sweetheart to offer sincere sentiments of love. He caused my heart to flutter to remind me of life. While I was trying to count my blessing, God was busy multiplying them to me. I laughed to realize that the interruptions of my quiet time were God, were special blessings He'd sent to show me He was with me the entire time. You see, sometimes God stills the storm for his child. And sometimes he stills the storm in the child. Can you be still? Can you be quiet and just rest in Jesus tonight? I hope you can. I hope you'll practice that this week. I hope you'll take that quiet time just to spend with Jesus. Get away. Turn everything off. Get in your car by yourself. Have that quiet time of prayer. Talk to Him. Reach out to Him. Hold His hand. He wants you just to spend time with Him. Let's pray.